From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm angelic anchorman Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I share your excitement. We got a great show for you today. Andy Cohen will be joining us later. He is the impresario behind the reality TV show empire on Bravo, built around his Real Housewives series, or as we say here at NPR, Real Housepersons. Whatever gendered label you use, we want to hear from you. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jess from Ann Arbor.
Hey, Jess from Ann Arbor, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's cold.
What do you do there?
I'm a researcher at the University of Michigan.
What are you researching?
I'm researching non-addictive opioid analgesics.
Cool.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
This is
on my bucket list.
I've never heard our panelists get this excited. PJ is trying to crawl down the phone line to get to you.
I am.
But when you say to make boring drugs.
No, wait a minute. So this is like a non-addictive opioid. So these are opioids that will work but won't be addictive?
Yep, so it's Vicodin but boring.
Oh.
But it'll make you feel goofy and fun?
It'll make you not hurt. Hopefully not even goofy or fun. I mean it when I say boring.
I like you less,
suddenly.
I don't know. Well, welcome to the show, Jess. Let me introduce you to our panel. First, the syndicated advice columnist behind Ask Amy. I mean Amy Dickinson.
Hi, Amy.
Hey, Jess.
Next, an author and humorist whose latest book is The Baby Boom. It's PJ O'Rourke.
Hi, PJ.
Hi, Jess.
And a comedian performing New Year's Eve at the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. Go if you can. It's Paula Poundstone. Jess, welcome to our show. You're going to start us off with Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis is going to read for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine. You ready to play?
I am.
Okay, your first quote this week is from Barack Obama. He was speaking just last year explaining why he could not do something.
I'm the President of the United States, not the Emperor of the United States.
Well, turns out he decided being an emperor, not so bad. As he announced this week that he was taking unilateral action about what?
Immigration reform.
Yes, indeed, immigration reform. Very good. Yes, the grand era of bipartisan cooperation we've enjoyed for almost an entire week is now over.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No.
Oh, those were the good old days last Monday. Thursday night, President Obama announced via, quote, presidential memoranda, changes to immigration policy allowing millions of undocumented immigrants to stay here and work, to beef up border enforcement, and just to really mess with the Republicans, he changed the national anthem to La Bamba.
I like the whole presidential memoranda stuff. Have you folks ever tried fixing things around your house by leaving little notes?
Oh, yeah.
How effective
really?
Is that
it's like, it's not so much a dictatorial action.
No,
It's a honeydew.
he left a little note on the immigration policy saying, guys, could you just fix this, please?
Right.
That's what he did. Now, he followed up the announcement on Thursday with a speech in Las Vegas on Friday. That is, of course, a place known for good decisions. Yeah. And just to show he doesn't give a damn anymore, instead of having an array of citizens behind him in the podium, it was just a bunch of hookers and showgirls. Now, the Republicans, I should say, are furious. Mitch McConnell, the new Senate Majority Leader, says nothing that President Obama says in his speech will have the force of law because, according to the Constitution, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's right. Yeah.
Senator Coburn said there might be violence in reaction to this. A Republican riot. It means a crowd of well-dressed white people hiring Mexicans to turn over Mercedes and BMWs for them. All right, very good. Here is your next quote, Jess.
It's like Richard Nixon came back from the grave and is running a startup.
Now, that was a tech blogger named John Gruber. He was joining the chorus condemning what car service company this week?
Uber.
Yes, Uber. I know what you're thinking all along. You're like, Uber, Uber, isn't that kind of like a Nazi word?
Yes.
It turns out Uber, the company that sends a car right to you when you, you know, press a button on your phone, they had seen Google's slogan saying, don't be evil, and realized that left a niche for them. This week, one of the execs was caught promising to hire investigators to look into the private lives of journalists who were investigating their business practices. So now people, this is an amazing movement, people are denouncing Uber. They're saying they won't use it anymore. That's right, they're taking a stand by deleting an app from their phones.
Brave, brave
right.
Americans.
That's move over Gandhi, yeah. Right? I mean, this is...
Forget Washington at Valley Forge.
Right. It won't work. It won't work. Anybody who has used Uber is addicted to Uber. It is so convenient. If you called an Uber and Bill Cosby was the driver, you'd get in.
But, you know, investigating journalists as a threat, like, what would they get?
Yeah, seriously.
You know, really?
Well, Mr. Woodward, we found out that you have an overdue copy of a DVD of All the President's Men.
Exactly.
They did this thing. They put it up on their website, assuming people would find it amusing, where they charted Rides of Glory, which is the Uber version of a Walk of Shame.
Oh.
They did this. What they did you know what a walk
like
of shame is.
Like, after you sleep with someone, I'm just saying, I read about it in a book.
Right.
That sometimes after you've had, like, a one-night stand, you know what that is, right?
Yeah.
Afterwards, you walk down the street, like, wearing yesterday's clothes and carrying your shoes. That's the walk of shame.
Yeah. So then how does Uber know about it?
The way that Uber, they calculate, this is what they do. They look at the number of rides that are, A, taken late at night to someone's residence, and then the same person who called the car calls another car 4 to 6 hours later to go back to his or her own residence. The Ride of Glory.
You know, I don't have sex, so that will never happen to me.
No.
Jess, here is your last quote.
Yes. We know it's Christmas.
That was Rob Tell Paley, the native of Liberia, responding with some impatience to what fundraising song that was redone and released this week.
Fundraising song that was redone and released this week?
Re-released.
Re-released.
It's a 30-year-old song, big deal 30 years ago. They released a new version of it this week.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas?
No. That would be a rather bitter response to that cheerful song that you mentioned it. I'll just give it to you. You may not know this. The song is called Do They Know It's Christmas?
Oh, I remember that. It was so awkward.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was, like, sung for the benefit of a continent. And it's like a continent that has more Christians than any other continent in the world.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Let me explain. 30 years ago, a bunch of giants of the music industry, none of whom you've heard of because you're too young, recorded a song called Do They Know It's Christmas to raise money to help relieve a famine in Africa. Just this month, a new version was recorded, this time with artists you've never heard of because you're too old. It's called Do They Know It's Christmas 30 and not Of Course They Know It's Christmas. They Have the Internet, You Jackass. Bono, you'll be pleased to know, is the only artist appearing in both versions of the song. It makes sense because U2 is basically the Ebola of bands. You turn on your iTunes and it's like, what happened? Oh no, I caught U2.
Did they do the sequel song, Do They Know It's Black Friday?
Where can they shop? Bill, how did Jess do in our quiz?
You know, Jess did okay. She snowed in, so we're going to call her a winner.
That's
very
right.
Very good, Jess. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Don't leave all the high out of that.
Good luck on taking all the fun out of the trauma ward.
Thank you, Peter.
I want to remind remind everyone that they can join us most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium right here in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Amy, Lululemon, that's the yoga clothing company, they're facing more bad news. New research suggests there is a dark side to wearing yoga pants. What is it?
Does it involve, like, a hygiene issue?
Well, sort of. I'll give you a hint. You'll need Clearasil for your other cheeks.
It doesn't.
Like... like acne?
Yeah, like acne where?
On your bottom?
Yeah, on yoga pants cause butt acne.
Okay.
Ebola panic in New York has faded, but another plague is sweeping the city. One doctor told New York Magazine, quote, I've seen quite a bit of acne on the buttocks, unquote. The problem is yoga pants.
I wouldn't go bragging about that. Does he even know it's Christmas? Yeah, boy, I dodged a bullet there, huh?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I believe that yoga is probably good for you, but I just, if it is like the key to life and happiness, I am just so bummed.
Have you ever?
Because I do not want to do yoga. I just don't. I don't want to be with those women. The ones with the pants and the
butt acne.
And the butt acne and now when I walk by them in my khaki pants, I'm gonna go, my, but the surface of my buttocks is smooth.
Support for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast comes from Trunk Club, a men's outfitting service focused on simplifying the process of clothes shopping. Every guy that uses Trunk Club is matched with a personal stylist who will get to know his individual preferences and styles, handpick a selection of premium clothing, pack it in a trunk, and ship it off for home try-on. Users have 10 days to try on everything in the trunk, decide what to keep, and then send the rest back. Shipping is free both ways with no monthly obligations. To try out Trunk Club's clothing discovery service, check out trunkclub.com/wait. Coming up, just hold your nose and take a bite. It's our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, P.J. O'Rourke, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Mark Kanigas from Rockport, Massachusetts.
Rockport,
hey,
Massachusetts?
Hey, Mark.
That was a summer destination of mine for many years growing up.
Do they still have, remember the restaurant that was out in the water? Do they still have that?
Restaurant on the water.
There used to be a restaurant. Like,
no, that sank. turned out to be a terrible idea.
It was the coolest thing. The only thing they didn't have was good food. But other than that...
Well, welcome to the show, Mark. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Mark's topic?
Welcome to the Clean Plate Club.
Parents try all sorts of tricks to get their kids to clean their plates, from empty threats to bribery to not-so-empty threats. But this week, we read a story about an ingenious or perhaps insane way to get kids to eat their vegetables. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Guess the real story. You'll win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to go?
Sounds good.
Let's hear first from Amy Dickinson this week.
McDonald's has successfully, artificially cross-flavored many different foodstuffs, making chicken look and taste like hockey pucks, for instance, or making slivers of potato taste like a deep-fried salt lick. But the food giant suffered a big fail recently when it tried to sneak in a healthier menu for kids by making broccoli that tastes like bubblegum. Company executives would not disclose how they achieved this or why the new product failed. Was it because kids prefer their broccoli to taste like chewing tobacco? Or was it because kids would rather eat eggplant that tastes like Tootsie Rolls? Maybe it failed because their trademark Ronald McDonald vomited on his giant clown shoes even thinking about it.
Ah. Bubble gum flavored broccoli from McDonald's, an idea that went nowhere. Your next story of the things we do because force feeding is frowned upon comes from PJ O'Rourke.
Well, Whole Foods organic grocery chain tried a new approach to helping parents get children to eat healthier food. The marketing campaign was tested at three Southern California stores. The idea was to appeal to a child's imagination instead of a child's taste buds. Tests by food psychologists showed some differences in foodstuff appeal between boys and girls. For example, little boys could be induced to eat cooked beets if they came with plastic eyes, mouth, and tail, and instructions to kill Barney the dinosaur and eat him. Ditto for Brussels sprouts if packaged as cut-off heads of Kermit the Frog. Little girls, on the other hand, responded to fava beans sold as magic fairy eggs, bean sprouts labeled My Little Pony Hay, and tofu, the edible Barbie facial. Whole Foods' problem was parents are highly suggestible, too. A Whole Foods store in Malibu was sued for $6 million by the mother of a four-year-old girl. The mother claimed that the magical fairy egg fava beans she bought hatched, leaving her house infested with thousands of tiny, fluttering, supernatural creatures.
Oh.
Whole Foods tries to rename their healthy foods for kids in imaginative and sometimes kind of disgusting ways. Your last story of Kids at the Table comes from Paula Poundstone.
Just in time for the season of gift giving, Hasbro introduces a brand new dinner table game called Play With Your Food. It's enough to make Miss Manners pass out cold, but kids and some parents give it rave reviews. It is played at the dinner table while eating a nutritious meal. Each player sits across from their partner. One player is in charge of the scoreboard, and a deck of action cards are placed in the center of the table. Each player has a colorful plastic spoon catapult and a thick plastic 3-inch diameter straw. At the beginning of their turn, one player picks a card, reads it aloud, and follows the instruction. For 3 points, catapult a bite of any vegetable into your partner's mouth. If you miss, eat 5 legumes. For 5 points, load your projectile straw with a bite-sized piece of meat, blow it across the table into your partner's mouth. If you miss, have 3 bites of unsalted root vegetable. For 10 points, using any piece of silverware, figure out how to pick up more than 2 peas without using your fingers. 20 points are awarded when a player successfully catapults mashed potatoes into their partner's mouth, and the game comes with a spatula for scooping the missed bites off the wall. Every party has a pooper, of course, so the Parents' Choice Awards gave it a timeout, which is their lowest ranking. Many of the testers cited safety concerns. My safety concern as a mother, says Patsy O'Malley, a tester from Chelmsford, Massachusetts, is that if my kids threw mashed potatoes on my kitchen wall, I'd kill them.
All right, then, here are your choices. One of these was or is a scheme to get kids to eat better. From Amy Dickinson, a plot by McDonald's to sell bubble gum flavored broccoli. From PJ O'Rourke, Whole Foods renaming their vegetables to make them more appealing to kids and slightly disturbing to adults. And from Paula Poundstone, the Play With Your Food game, which encourages kids to do the things that they would normally do, mainly misbehave terribly at dinner. Which of these is the real plot to somehow get our kids to eat better?
Well, it's tough. I wouldn't put anything past McDonald's, so I'm going to go with Amy.
I think your choice then, if I understand, is Amy's story about McDonald's and their bubblegum-flavored broccoli. Well, we spoke to somebody familiar with the real story.
McDonald's had created broccoli that tastes like bubblegum, but kids were ultimately very confused by the taste.
Imagine.
That was Tori Jones Armel from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Talking about bubblegum-flavored broccoli that was not ultimately sold by McDonald's. Thank you so much, because you came on and won. Congratulations, you got it right.
Mark.
Thank you.
Good work, Mark.
You earned a point for Amy. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Well
Thanks
done.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Call any festival. Call any. Call it by name. Call any festival. Call any festival. And the chances are good. All the
vesper will respond to you.
And now the game where you take somebody who is fabulous and expose him to the opposite. It is called Not My Job. Andy Cohen started out as a producer with CBS News doing tough stories from tough places. But his secret dream was to choreograph elaborate catfights between wealthy, underemployed women. He is the Bravo TV producer responsible for the Real Housewives franchise, and he is the host of the nightly live talk show on Bravo, Watch What Happens Live. Andy Cohen, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I am so happy to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. So, your new book, which was inspired by the Andy Warhol diaries, which you say inspired you to move to New York in the first place, is a diary of your year from the middle of 2013 to the middle of this year. And it is such fun to read it. Can you tell the audience about a typical day in the life of Andy Cohen?
Well, I guess a typical day in my life involves some sort of fitness, perhaps. It involves me sticking my foot in my mouth at some point in the day. It might involve a Seinfeldian, as I call it, occurrence in the city in which I live, which is New York. And it ends with me hosting this kind of live cocktail party every night with kind of a mix between people that you might find on either the pages of The New Yorker or Us Weekly.
Yes, it's crazy. Now, I don't know how many people who listen to NPR watch Bravo, and however many number there are, because this is NPR, a smaller number will admit it. So let's go over this.
Certain amount of lying.
So
you know,
so basically, I'll tune into Bravo of an evening, and I'll probably see one of the many shows you've created, say Real Housewives of New Jersey or Atlanta or Beverly Hills. And you invented these shows, right? This is your.
I was with a team of people at Bravo, and we are the proud proprietors of these fine shows that have replaced the soap opera, basically, I think.
Yes.
I love sociology and I love human behavior, and we have plenty. You can kind of sit at home and think, oh, my God, I would never do that, or I would, or I think that's ridiculous.
So,
Andy, I think it's a stretch to say that that's sociology.
Oh, no. So I have to understand. Describe to me, because, I mean, in TV, I know you have to pitch an idea. So describe to me the day you went in and you pitched to whoever's in charge of Bravo and said, this is going to, what did you say?
Well, what it was is there was a group of women that were brought to us by someone who lived in their neighborhood, which was the largest gated community in the country. And they were, their boobs were bigger, their hair was blonder, they communicated with their children in a way that I had never seen. And we said,
wait a minute, how did they communicate with their children?
It was inappropriate. It was all just inappropriate.
What was the original franchise? Was it Beverly Hills?
The original was Orange County.
Orange County, California, and then Beverly Hills and Atlanta.
But then, also, the women who are in these shows, a lot of them became breakout stars, and then they get their own spin-off shows. So
that's
it's sort
true.
Of like Spawn of Satan.
It does seem, again, reading...
No, we mean that in a good way.
No. Yes.
Spawn of Satan in a good way.
It does seem...
Fine. You're all there in your theater judging me.
It's all right.
No. I just,
awesome. I'm not judging you. I want a piece of this. What would you think about Real House Cats of Santa Monica?
Oh, Paula, I'm coming after you. You're ready.
All right.
Ready
so we but heard the, a rumor, and I want to confirm this with you right now, because I'm a proud Chicagoan, that you wanted to do a Real Housewives of Chicago, but you couldn't find anybody here crazy enough.
Listen, there are nutbags all over the place.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you didn't look hard enough, pal.
No, I mean, trust me, I'm on a book tour.
Yeah,
I'm
you've seen them.
Everybody around the country. And I love, by the way, I love a nutbag. But, we could find some.
One of my favorite characters in your book, I have to say, is your mother. Your father's great, too. But you seem to have a wonderful relationship with your mother.
I do. She and my doorman are my two favorite characters. They're kind of the moral compass of the book. My mother's favorite thing is once every 2 months she calls me and begs me not to go on Bill Maher's show because she does not think that I am intellectually ready to go on Bill Maher's show, which is hilarious because Bill Maher is not asking me to go on his show. So it's a hypothetical fight and crisis that she's invented. She'll Skype me and she'll say, I beg you not to go on Bill Maher. You're not going to be able to do it. And
I noticed she didn't try to stop you from going on our show. I guess she thought you were up to this.
Actually, she would be terrified if I told her that
you,
I was.
You are beyond intellectually ready to do this show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
So we're here to tell you.
So a lot of the stories are about Watch What Happens Live, which is this nightly wrap-up live talk show.
Yes.
And you tell some, and you have all kinds of people, not only housewives from the housewife shows and other Bravo shows, but you also have big, legit celebrities from the rest of the world. And you tell this very amazing and great story of what happened when Lady Gaga came on.
Right. Lady Gaga was on. She, backstage in her dressing room, she came out after the show and she said, "Listen, I peed in my trash can. I hope you don't mind."
Oh, my God.
And I said, "Oh, Lord, okay." And then my little clubhouse where we do the show is full of pop culture artifacts, I would say. We've got Julie Andrews' used tea bag. We've got Lindsay Lohan's cigarette butt. And I said to my PA, "Put Lady Gaga's pee in some fancy bottle." And so my PA did this, which I couldn't believe. And then 2 days later, he came to me and he said, "Listen, I have bad news. This urine of Lady Gaga's is going to get very toxic." And I said, "Why? Because what's wrong with Lady Gaga that her urine would become toxic?" He said, no, "It's not Lady Gaga. This is what happens, of course, to urine." He said, "But I found a recipe online in which you can turn this into perfume." And this is how amazing my PAs are, by the way. And he said, "I'm going to try to do it." And I said, "Great, do it." So we have this in a very fancy perfume snifter in the back. It's disgusting, but I think it's cool.
I think so. I just want to know.
I think it's
so. Here's
abuse.
Lady Gaga, and she says to you, "Andy, I just want you to know, I peed in your wastebasket."
What?
To which you said,
"Oh, let's save the pee as an artifact." Is that weird?
What it means to me, Andy, is that you, unlike so many less fortunate people, found your calling.
I know.
Well, it also means that Lady Gaga isn't toilet trained.
So weird.
Also,
I mean,
but you know what
you
else?
Let me just say this, and I know NPR listeners don't need to hear this, but just if there's somebody who's just like turning the dial that doesn't belong here, you don't pee in the trash can. You just don't. I don't care what lady you are.
Be sure to label it, Andy, because it looks just like tequila.
Yeah. All right, Andy Cohen, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling Bzzz, Bzzz, Bzzz. You're the man behind Real Housewives, but what do you know about Real House Flies? We're going to ask you three questions about Musca domestica, the house fly. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is Andy Cohen playing for?
Donna Lynn Allen of Dubuque, Iowa.
All right. Ready to play, Andy?
Yes.
All right. Flies are very common, of course, but there's one way they're very unusual. Unlike almost all other common insects, flies, A, can mimic human language, B, are immune to gravity, or C, can't learn anything.
I believe the answer would be C.
You are correct, Andy.
Yeah.
You can, it turns out you can train cockroaches, you can train ants, fleas, of course, in their circuses. You can't teach flies a thing.
Wow.
Stupid flies.
Yeah.
They're so dumb.
All right. Well, here are two more questions. You did that one well.
Okay.
Flies are annoying, but they have some uses. A clever person has figured out how to use flies to A, power a working model airplane, B, herd sheep, C, paint a wall.
Wow.
One of these is correct.
Wow.
Yes, indeed.
I guess I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, and you're right again,
wow.
Andy.
Wow.
Just order your plane from flypower.com. You assemble the plane. You catch a fly. It's up to you. You attach the fly, and off it goes.
Wow.
Wow.
Right, let's see if you can be perfect in this, as you are in so many other things. Everybody knows it's really hard to swat a fly, but one inventor got a patent for his brilliant idea. What is it? A fly swatter so tiny the fly will never see it coming. B, a flaming fly swatter with a fuel tank and igniter.
Oh, God.
Or C, a modified cattle gun that allows you to hit the fly with enough force to punch through the wall behind it.
A.
You're right again,
wow,
Andy.
Boy.
Good grief.
Who knew?
Who knew? Andy. Yeah, it's a patented fly swatter. The impact surface is about the size of the fly. You attach it to your finger, and all you need to do is flick it exactly right. Bill, how did Andy Cohen do on our show?
Andy, I want you to call your mother right now and tell her I got him all right.
Well done. Andy Cohen from Bravo. His new book is The Andy Cohen Diaries, A Deep Look at a Shallow Year. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a hoot and a half. Andy Cohen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure to have you.
See you, Andy.
Bye-bye.
Buzz, 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 goes that busy little fly. Buzz, 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 he's taking off and high. You roll a paper nice and tight and you wait around for him to light. But there's a fly that's a living right. Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Support for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast comes from Trunk Club, a men's outfitting service focused on simplifying the process of clothes shopping. Every guy that uses Trunk Club is matched with a personal stylist who will get to know his individual preferences and styles, handpick a selection of premium clothing, pack it in a trunk, and ship it off for home try-on. Users have 10 days to try on everything in the trunk, decide what to keep, and then send the rest back. Shipping is free both ways with no monthly obligations. To try out Trunk Club's clothing discovery service, check out trunkclub.com/wait.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, PJ O'Rourke, and Amy Dickinson. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute. In just a minute, Bill calls in to the Diane Rimes Show. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. PJ, you know how hard things are in the newspaper industry these days.
Yeah, yes, I do.
However, it was still a shock this week when reporters at the Orange County Register were asked to do what?
That was one of those good news, bad news things where it's like you get the memo. Good news is you're still working.
Yes. Not only are they going to be writing, editing, and producing the paper, they're going to have to
print it and sell it and
you're almost
take
there.
Out the trash and,
oh, come on.
And deliver it to houses.
Deliver it. Yes.
Oh, okay. My God.
They're being asked to deliver the paper.
All right.
The Orange County Register announced that all employees, including the journalists themselves, were being asked to take a shift delivering Sunday's paper in return for a $150 Visa gift card.
Yeah. No.
It is demeaning, I know, but nobody will be laughing when one of them wins the Best Delivery Pulitzer.
Yes, yes. And a Schwinn!
You can actually put your Pulitzer in the spokes to make it go.
Yeah.
They used to always call my house and ask if I wanted to buy the Sunday edition of the LA Times.
Yes.
And I said, well, no. I don't. I might even take the other days. They felt the Sunday edition was like a special thing to ask me about. The Sunday paper has no news in it, and that always troubles me.
There's a little news, but it's got some useful.
No, basically because it goes to bed on Friday night.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, I used to work in a bookstore, and we got it on Thursday and assembled it. It's true. And it's nothing but, you know, baking tips. And, who writes baking tips every bloody week? Oh, this just in. Turn the oven on. What could be new? Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you
mean. Nothing new in baking. Do grease the pan. Don't grease the pan. Put a little bit of the flour inside. Yeah.
Amy, a new dating app provides an additional feature beyond the standard matchmaking. You use it for a little while and it gives you what? Well, not directly.
You use it for a little while and it gives you...
Of course, you might need to take your Sharpie onto your smartphone and change the F into a B.
Oh, a grade?
Yeah, it gives you a dating grade.
Oh, my. Yeah. That's awful.
Oh, you mean like when you take an Uber car and you have to rate the driver?
Yeah.
No.
But the way it works is this is a little differently. You're not being rated by other people. The app itself rates you as a dating person, a dater, based on your profile and your dating skill.
Oh, my God. And then other people... who are trying to match with you will see your grade?
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Stars.
What's that thing? You know, what's ChristenMingle.com? They say on their ad, they say, find the mate that God wants you to have.
I know.
And I just think, does God need the internet? You know, he's supposed to be all powerful.
God's an old white guy. He doesn't understand his crap.
Yeah.
Then there's another one where it's for farm people.
It's farmers only. It's the official dating website of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Farmers only.
It's very successful, apparently.
Well, I love it that farmers are excluding us. You know, farmers only. Like, we were trying to push our way into the farming dating cycle. Aren't you sick of all the farming couples being broken up by the city folk?
It's like...
Now, I am technically a farmer.
I know that.
Yeah.
I have
a tree farm.
I've seen your land.
And do you get tax benefits?
Tax benefits? Absolutely. You know, I mean, I'm maybe a Republican, but I'm not stupid.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I have 16 cats. Shouldn't I get something?
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Newark, New Jersey, December 4th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Becca calling from Irvine, California.
Oh, what do you do in Irvine?
I am an MFA student in costume design.
Oh, yes, at the very fine theater department at University of California, Irvine. And do you look forward to a career in what?
Hopefully getting jobs working on live theater.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Radio costumes are particularly easy.
Okay. Very easy.
Design.
Well, welcome to the show, Becca. Bill Curtis is going to read for you right now three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be a big winner. Are you ready to go?
Absolutely.
Here is your first limerick.
Barbie's image we've tried to reload, but some feminists' heads might explode. A computer job's fine if she gets to design, but just don't expect her to...
code?
Yes, very good. So this was a big online thing this week. Mattel is bringing Barbie boldly into the 19th century with a new series of books called I Can Be, in which Barbie has a series of real jobs other than her usual occupation, which is trying not to topple over. And in one of these books, she is a computer programmer, but apparently not a very good one, because she explains, and this is the controversy, she says, quote, "I'm only creating the design ideas. I'll need Steven or Brian's help to turn it into a real game," unquote. So you have to understand, people, this is not serious. It's just a scheme by Mattel to sell their male computer programmer action figures, Brian and Steven, which are just relabeled Jabba the Hutt action figures. Here is your next limerick.
We stopped it with tanks that were Shermany, then reformed it with lectures, quite sermony. Now, since the World Cup, its low stock has gone up. The most popular country is...
Germany?
Yes, Germany.
Becca.
Very good.
She's got it. These are tough limericks.
If someone asked you to guess what you think the most popular country in the world is, you would naturally say, well, Germany. Because if you didn't, you would risk an invasion. But it's true. According to the Nation's Brand Index, Germany has knocked the USA off the top spot of most popular country. Analysts credit this with their World Cup victory this year and the fact that, obviously, everyone is still terrified of Germany. Very good. Here is your last limerick.
With cooties, I must come to terms, or kissing will just make me squirm. Bacteria slip across our locked lips. It's a giant tsunami of...
Germany?
Germs,
yes, very good. A new study from the University of Amsterdam has discovered that a single 10-second kiss transfers 80 million bacteria from one mouth to another. If you're in the habit of kissing lots of different people, your mouth will contain bits and pieces of different people's mouths, like a beautiful patchwork quilt of herpes. Which is technically a virus, but okay. Also, interestingly, if you're in a committed relationship, this is also true, and you kiss the same person over and over, your bacteria gets integrated, and you have the same stuff in your bodies. Now, that is going to be tough to sort out, though, when you break up.
Yeah, you got to sign a prenup for that. Yeah. I'd like my bacteria back.
Yeah.
That syphilis was a present from my ex, and I want it back. Bill, how did Becca do in our quiz?
Well, she may never kiss again, but Becca was perfect. Very good job, Becca.
Thank you, Becca.
Thank you, Becca. Good luck with that theater career. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
I sure can. Paula and PJ each have 2. Amy has 4.
Oh, my God.
You flipped the coin. PJ has elected to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. This week, a surprise storm broke records when it left parts of blank buried under
Buffalo.
6 feet of snow. Yes, Buffalo. Following more allegations of misconduct, both Netflix and NBC ties with comedian Bill Cosby. Yes. On Tuesday, Republican senators blocked a bill that would have stopped the NSA from collecting Americans' blank records.
Internet records.
No, in this case, cell phone records.
Oh, cell phone.
Police in England arrested a man for threatening workers at a local supermarket with a blank.
Oh, it was that bubblegum flavored broccoli.
No, it was a photocopied picture of a gun. Illinois police officer is under investigation after pulling over a school bus in order to blank.
Oh. Do what Lady Gaga did?
No. He pulled over a school bus in order to give his son the lunch that the kid forgot at home.
Oh. Now that's a good dad.
So the bus, the bus is driving along. All of a sudden, the unmarked car behind it, the lights go on. Bus driver pulls over, doesn't know what's going on. Police officer walks up, walks onto the bus, stares at him and says, "Jimmy, here's your lunch. You forgot it." Walks off, which I think is a pretty cool dad thing to do. But unfortunately for the police officer, the bus driver filed a complaint, and the disciplinary board at the Lake County Precinct may be left with no choice but to ask Officer Keller to turn in his gun, his badge, and his peanut butter and jelly.
Aww. It's like a good dad, bad cop story.
Yeah.
Bill, how did PJ do in our quiz?
Well, he got 2 points.
2 points.
Well, you got 4 more, but right now you're in the lead with 6.
Yeah.
Let's pause and let you enjoy that.
Yeah.
All right. Now it's Paula's turn. Paula, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. Three students were injured on Thursday when a gunman opened a fire at blank university.
FSU?
Yes, Florida State University. This week, President Obama ordered a review of U.S. policies on how to free American hostages held by blank. ISIS, yes. The State Department announced on Monday that they were the most recent federal agency to be targeted by blank.
Hackers?
Yes. According to the Mars Candy Company, the world is on the brink of a major blank shortage.
No. Chocolate?
Yes, Paula. Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback Dwayne Gratz was arrested for public intoxication when he tried to blank at a convenience store.
Chocolate?
No, yes. She's not going to say another word. He tried to pay for his goods with a pack of bubble gum. Best known for playing Thor in The Avengers, Australian actor Chris Hemsworth was named People Magazine's blank.
60s, man of the year.
Yes, indeed. This week, Jason Collins, the first openly gay player in the blank, announced his retirement.
Jason Collins in...
Bounce.
In basketball?
No.
In the NBA, yes. Officials in Arizona were forced to evacuate a Taco Bell after a man blanked.
he ate a taco.
No. He walked in while on fire and asked for a glass of water. The man, who witnesses say was almost completely engulfed in flames, calmly walked into the Taco Bell, approached the counter, and asked the cashier for a glass of water. The cashier gave him more than that, brought out a fire extinguisher, and put out the man's fire. The occasion marks the first time in history that someone has left a Taco Bell feeling better than when they walked in. All right, Bill. So, Bill, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Well, she did got 6 right, 12 more points. She now has 14 and the lead, Paula.
Whoa.
You know, I do feel that PJ gave me a hint, and I feel that that point should be given to PJ, and I should be down to, what would that be, 10 points?
Oh, Amy Dickinson is going to so whip our butt.
That's really...
In which case, I want my points back.
Okay. Let's see how it plans out. Okay. So, okay, Bill, how many does Amy need to win?
Oh, she needs 5 to tie and 6 to win.
Here we go, Amy. This is for the game. After it passed in the House last week, the Senate fell one vote shy of approving the blank.
Keystone Pipeline.
Right. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon declared a state of emergency in preparation for the grand jury's decision in blank.
Ferguson.
Right. On Wednesday, Montana became the most recent state to have its blank ban overturned.
Gay marriage.
Right. John Kerry met with negotiators in France before heading to Vienna to continue the talks about Iran's blank program.
Nuclear.
Right. Buffalo Bills fans were told they could have free tickets to this Sunday's game if they blanked.
Shoveled out the stadium.
Exactly, from all the snow. Pope Francis confirmed Monday that he'd be making his first papal visit to blank in 2015.
America?
Yes, the U.S. This week, 100 passengers in Japan shared a ride in the country's new high-speed blank, which can travel up to 300 miles per hour.
A train?
Right. A celebrity poker match featuring ex-baseball star Jose Canseco was briefly interrupted when blank.
He corked his cards?
No. The match was briefly interrupted when Jose Canseco's finger fell off. So a few weeks ago, Jose Canseco shot his finger off while cleaning his gun. It happens. And he naturally had his finger reattached, but apparently he went to a cut-rate surgeon because it didn't quite take. And this week, Canseco was playing a game of Texas can't quite hold him. And his recently repaired finger fell off. Bill, did Amy do well enough to win?
Pretty well. 7 right, 14 more points.
Whoa!
18, and that's Bell's champion.
Now, in just a minute, after we've reviewed the return of Do They Know It's Christmas, we're going to ask our panelists to name the next big fundraising song that we will hear. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, with a mobile app that lets users report claims, get a quote, and monitor repairs at eSurance.com. Welcome to the modern world. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And Pimsleur Language Programs, whose Unlimited series uses interactive software alongside audio instruction to teach foreign languages, including Spanish and Italian, at book retailers nationwide. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, our benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks extremely well. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Kelsey and the Sunshine Band Hardison. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Dolarchik at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Dornbos. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy Yen. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me just about every week is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the next cause to get a big fundraiser song? Amy Dickinson.
Okay, well, the song isn't written yet, but Miley Cyrus, this week she called dibs on Iraq and Syria because ISIS rhymes with crisis.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we'll go from there. PG O'Rourke.
It's professional athlete off-field behavior. yeah. And the song is Will You Bench Me Tomorrow?
And Will Paula Poundstone.
Fortunately, a lot of celebrities are getting together to do a benefit song performance for butt acne.
Well, if you hear any of those songs, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to PG O'Rourke, Paula Poundstone, Amy Dickinson. Thanks all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back. This is NPR. With the holidays approaching, the post office is getting busier by the minute. No business has time for that. Avoid the hassle. Go to Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for all of your letters and packages using just your computer and printer. It could not be easier. For a four-week trial and a free postage offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in WAIT. That's Stamps.com. Enter WAIT, W-A-I-T. And thanks for supporting one of our supporters.